जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान अभिचरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी हर शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टो विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेमसहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री 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 गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय मुदले श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनी दिनामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णव श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयो इतरतस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराय तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरै सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाहों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायं अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Dhyanayogam chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, which we were discussing last few Sundays, we were discussing this point, what Krishna says as the two different personalities, Krishna, isn't it? As far as a sannyasi is concerned, Krishna says, first thing is, anashrita karma phalam, one who does not accept the, one who is not expecting results from his karma. Krishna says that is a symptom of a sannyasi. Anashrita karma phalam, first thing. That is in the verse 1. And in the second verse, Krishna also says there, Nahi asanyasta sangalpam. There is no sangalpam anymore in his mind. A sannyasi has no more sangalpam in his mind. If he is functioning in this world with any sangalpam, that means he is not a sannyasi, in other words. Nahi asanyasta sangalpam. That sangalpam has to go. All sangalpam, vigalpam is the mind, isn't it? It's coming from there. So after saying that, Krishna talked about two different persons. One is called Arirukshu and the other one is called Yogarudha. Two things. We talked about that also in verse 3 and verse 4. Isn't it? Arirukshor Muner Yogam. Karmakarana Uchyate. Yogarudasya Tasaiva Shamakarana Uchyate. So, Arirukshu and Yogarudha are two states in spiritual life. Arirukshu means one who is on the path, climbing the ladder. Yogarudha means one who has reached that state and he is situated in that. So, in the Arirukshu stage, Krishna says, karma karanam uchyate. That karmam is where he has to put all his attention on, the karmam. Because Yogarudha state, the karmam has no detrimental effect on his yoga state. He has crossed that stage. Therefore, first thing, Arirukshu, one who is on the path of spiritual life, attention should be on the karmam. That's why Krishna is saying that. Arirukshor munir yogam karma karana muchyade. Karmam is the cause where it has to be, or all the senses of action must be tied down. That is the first thing. First thing is to tie down the senses of action. Because senses of action, they will act independently in the sense that they will drag the mind along with that. And then you will be lost. You won't be able to do it. Therefore, all this discipline is created in spiritual life. One has to follow certain discipline. It's only to tie down these senses of action. So they don't become an obstacle in the spiritual life. That's why Krishna says there, Arirukshur Munir Yogam Karmakarana Muchyade. And then he says that Yogarudasya Tasaiva Shamakarana Muchyade. One who has reached the state of Yogarudha state, that for him the control of the mind is important. Control on the mind is important. In other words, he has to withdraw from the activities of the mind. So those two verses we were discussing. The next verse Krishna said, Yadahi Indriyarteshu na karma sanisajjade sarvam sangalpa sanyasi yogarudha stadochade. So in the yogarudha state, which is a sanyasam state, sarva sangalpa sanyasi, again Krishna repeats that point, sarva sangalpa sanyasi. Sangalpa must go from inside. That means sangalpam basically means this plan making inside. I'll do this, I'll deal with this situation in this way, I'll deal with that situation. There is no such sangalpam in a sannyasi's mind. Sarvam, say sarva sangalpa sannyasi. ഈസ് എ സന്യാസി ഹു ഹസ് ഗിവൺ അപ് ഓൾ സങ്കല്പം. ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് യോഗാരൂഢസ് തദോച്ചതേ, ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് യോഗാരൂഢം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ സന്യാസം ഈസ് നോട്ട് എക്സ്റ്റേർണൽ ഡ്രസ് ദാറ്റ് മിസ്അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് വി ഷുഡ് ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഫ്രം അവർ ഹെഡ് ഫസ്റ്റ്. Krishna is not interested in that. Everything is centered around the subtle body inside, how it is. The Arirukshir Muni Yogam Karma Karana Muchyate. He is in the path of climbing in the spiritual life, where first he has to put his attention on the karma. And secondly, Krishna is saying that Yoga Ruda, Krishna says there, Sarva Sangalpa Sanyasam Yoga Ruda Stadochyate. That sannyasi has no business, no sankalpam at all. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, it is, he is a sannyasi. Jnanam, sannyasa lakshanam. The symptom of sannyasam is jnanam, realization in other words. Not the external show. That won't help anywhere. So, sarva sankalpa sannyasi, Krishna says there. So, having said that, we are discussing these two place things which Krishna has spoken about, Yoga Ruda and Arirukshu. That's what we were discussing last Sunday, isn't it? So, Arirukshu means one who wants to reach that stage, and Yogaruda is that person who has already got to that stage of realization. So, na karmashu anusajjade, Krishna says there, isn't it? Sir, some people don't have the enthusiasm to do the karmam, and they may withdraw from the karmam. But instead, what will happen to them is they will become lazy. In other words, they'll withdraw from the karma and they'll go and sit down and watch television or something like that, saying that I have no more karma to perform. That's not what Krishna is talking about. So, the devotee situation is that actually mind is the main obstacle. Mind is the main obstacle. Now, the mind is handled by the yogi, by the jnani and the devotee in three different ways. They can handle this in three different ways. The yogi tries to control the mind and focus on one point, ekagrata, concentration on one point. That is the yogi's approach towards the mind. Yogi takes that attitude towards the mind. Somehow or the other, not allow the mind to wander around, bring it under control to one point, somewhere, at some point, and keep it always focused there. That is the yogi's approach. Jnani's approach is completely destroy the mind. Don't allow the mind to pop up at any stage. And then the devotee's approach is hand over the mind to Krishna. So let Krishna control the mind. So that is where Sharanagati comes, isn't it? Control, handing over the mind to Krishna means Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. So in either process, any of these processes, whether it is yogam or jnanam or bhakti, we have to get this mind under control. That is the principle. That's why whole Dhyana Yoga is pointing out to that, how the different processes works with the mind. That's what we are discussing last Sunday. And we talked about Mooka Kavi. If you remember, Mooka Kavi wrote this famous song known as Mooka Panjashadi, the 500 verses glorifying Kamakshi. And he prayed to her to give the eloquence to speak, glorifying her, and after it was spoken, he asked her to withdraw that power from him so that he wouldn't speak nonsense after that. So that was the approach that they have understood, that the mind is only a problem. Mind is not going to help very much, and similarly all the senses also. So after that is where we stopped last Sunday, isn't it? So if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, where in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudama's case, if you take there, Parikshit Maharaj spoke about Sudama a few verses there. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Parikshit Maharaj says there that Sudama, he had Shri Rajovacha that ഭഗവാന്യാനി ചാന്യാനി മുകുന്ദസ്യ മഹാത്മനാഹ വീര്യാണി അനന്ത വീര്യസ്യ ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛാമി ഹേ പ്രഭോ. ഐ വോണ്ട് കൃഷ്ണ പരീക്ഷിത് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ സുദേവ് ഗോസ്വാമി, ഭഗവാൻ യാനി ചാന്യാനി മുകുന്ദസ്യ മഹാത്മന വീര്യാണി അനന്ത വീര്യസ്യ ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛാമി ഹേ പ്രഭോ. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സസ് ദർ ഇൻ ദി ചാപ്റ്റർ 80 ഇൻ ദ 10th കാന്റോ. Just prior to that, in the verses, in the chapter before that, Sukadeva Goswami has already sensed that the end is coming. That the end is coming. So he asked Parikshit, do you want to hear anything more? From that question itself, it is understood that Sukadeva Goswami was already sensing that Takshaka is on his way to bite Parikshit. So it is at that point that Bhagavan Yani Janyani Mukundasya Mahalpana, can you tell me more about Mukunda, about Krishna? Parikshit has asked that question. Koni Shrutva Sagat Brahmam Uttama Shloka Salkathaha Virameda Visheshatnyo Vishanna Kamamar Ganehi. Then, one who has running after sense gratification, when will he ever turn his mind to Krishna? This was the question he has raised. One who has got some intelligence, when will he turn his mind towards hearing about Krishna? And then after that, immediately after that, Parikshit says about a few words about hearing about Krishna. Savagaya tasya gunan grinite karau jadal karma karau manascha smaredvasandam stirajangameshu shrinu amital punya kathasa karnaha. He says, Eya tasya gunan grinite sa vak bhavati. That why whatever words we use to glorify Krishna, that is the only words worthwhile speaking in this world. Whatever we glorify Krishna with our words, word is a very powerful instrument, isn't it? Word is a powerful instrument. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva. Kayam is body, vacham is the words. So we have been given some ability to speak. And this thing, the ability to speak, if it is not used in glorifying Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, Isa vagaya tasya gunan grinite karau chatal karma karau manaschaham. Yal tal karma karau taveva kara. If the hands are utilized properly only if they are used in Krishna service. The hands are utilized properly only if they are used in Krishna service. Yal sirajangam eshu vasandam tam smarel tadaiva manaha. And the mind, he says, immediately after that, Krishna who is living in all the animate and inanimate objects. Animate and inanimate objects. Krishna who is present in every one of them, remembering Krishna, is mind is meant for that purpose. To remember Krishna present in every living entity. In every living entity. And tal punya kathaha shrinoti sa karnaha, that ears are meant only meant for hearing about Krishna. So savageya tasya gunan grinide karau jatal karma karau manaschaha smared vasandam stirajangameshu shrinoditaal punya kathasa karnaha shirastu tasyo bhayalingamaname tate vayalpashalita dijakshuhu. The head is only meant for tat yat tasya ubhayalingam aname tadeiva shiraha. Then seeing everything in the creation as Krishna's manifestation and paying obeisances to all objects in this world, seeing Krishna's presence in everything, the head is meant for that. Parikshit is saying this. Yat tadeva pashyati tad chakshuhu. And to see in everyone Krishna's presence, as Krishna is present in every living entity, that to see like that and to see all the objects as Krishna's manifestation, it's for that purpose eyes have been given. And angani vishnu radarajananam padodagam yani bhajandi nityam yani vishnu tajananam cha padodagam nityam bhajadi angani. That only for serving the feet of Krishna and the Vaishnava devotees or the devotees is all the limbs in the body. And otherwise all senses, mind, everything is useless. Who said this? Parikshit Maharaj says this at the end of 10th canto while speaking to to Sukadeva Goswami. When Parikshit said this, immediately Sukadeva Goswami went into a special samadhi state. And it is from that he started talking about Sudama. Because these words from Parikshit reminded Sukadeva Goswami about Sudama. That's how it happened. That is how he remembered Sudama. Because Sudama was not mentioned at all before that. When Parikshit said these things, Immediately he remembered about this devotee Sudama and it came out from him. That's why you can see in the next verse, Shri Shogavacham, Krishnasyasi ilsakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittamaha viraktam indriyarteshu prashandalma jitendriyaha. Immediately, without mentioning any name, Krishna had a friend like this, one friend, he says, who lived at the same time. Krishnasyasi ilsakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittamaha. His qualities, he's talking about, he was a friend of Krishna, and at the same time he was a brahmana, and he was a brahmavittama. Brahmavittama means he had realized. He has the realized person. He was not an ordinary person. Viraktaha, completely detached from this world. Indriyarteshu, no attachment to any sense enjoyment, in any level. Absolutely nothing. Prashandalpaha, prashandalpa means already realized it, and shandi, complete prashandi inside. Prashandalma jidendriya. Indriya means total control on the senses. So, if you look there, you can see even Parikshit Maharaj is conscious that this control of the mind and the body is such an important factor, mind and the senses. So, in that state, that Sudeva Goswami is saying there, or Parikshit Maharaj is saying there, that one should train one's senses to develop the consciousness of the soul, of the realization of the soul. One has to develop that taste of realizing the experience of the soul. Instead of allowing the senses constantly to engage in sense gratification, we have to train the senses in experiencing the happiness of the soul. For example, we have trained the senses so much to enjoy sense gratification. In a natural way, it gets pulled into sense enjoyment, isn't it? So to pull the senses out of sense gratification and to allow the senses to enjoy spiritual life is the first thing he is talking about. Just like if you are given nice sweets, to have nice sweets, you won't be after something cheap to eat. You won't like anything else to eat. You will like to eat that sweets more than the other food, whatever that is not very relishing or not very tasty, isn't it? So just like we have a higher taste for the food, what we like to eat, similarly this desire for eating, desire for enjoying senses, also will only go when the mind gets absorbed in Krishna. So, what does it mean? Does not mean that to give up the sense gratification as such, by this realization, what Parikshit is saying there, that the senses, the mind, everything, when it is absorbed in Krishna, automatically it loses its taste for sense enjoyment. It has to lose the taste, not conceptual renunciation. Conceptual renunciation is forcefully you are trying to renounce something without getting any attachment for spiritual life. But when there is proper attachment for spiritual life, Parikshit is saying, Sudeva Goswami is also saying, in a natural way, attachment for sense gratification will go from inside. In a natural way, it will leave. So, we are not giving it up, but they leave us. That is the difference. We are not forcefully giving it up, but by attachment to Krishna consciousness on spiritual activities, in a natural way, sense gratification leaves us. That is the way it should happen. So, you can see, when we talk about sense gratification, naturally, we have attachment for karma, isn't it? Karma attachment is very strong in everyone, and it is very difficult to give it up also. So, you can see all over the world, if you look, people are not just working in this world for the sake of living alone. It's not that they are working in this world just for the sake of living. That anybody can observe. If it is question of living in this world, you don't have to work so much. That is the principle. But what happens is that many people are finding it difficult to sit without doing anything. That is the most difficult part. Because after doing this karma for a long period of time, it has become a disease. And we have to recognize that. we will not recognize that. We will keep on pointing out some other issues in this world. I have this burden, that burden, how will I pay this bill, that bill, and so many things we will say. But factually, what Bhagavatam is telling us is that in reality, you have got this sickness in you, and it is better to recognize this sickness, the karma yogam. It's not karma yogam, it's karma yogam. It has become a disease inside. And that disease has to be cured till we understand these things, what Krishna is talking about here. So as long as karmam is a yogam, karma yogam is a inside, Krishna says there that that is forcing us to act in one way or the other. So, just like if you are not doing anything, you are traveling somewhere, people will ask you, what are you doing? So if you say, oh, I'm just talking from Bhagavad Gita or something like that. This, how much money do you get by doing it? These are, people are like this. That's all what they understand, that you have to make some money. These questions were not asked 50 years ago or 60 years. People never used to ask this question. Why? Because there were not so many opportunities to engage in different things like the way it's today. We have so many different kinds of engagement these days in karmam, isn't it? All different fields of activity, in different professions, different kinds of businesses, different activities. These are all modern things. One time, it didn't exist in this same way. Varnashram dharma was more in control. In other words, people knew what they were to do in this life, to live, make a living. So this is a completely new thing. And that is manifesting in people's approach also, outlook also. If you're traveling by train somewhere, somebody you get to know, and he will ask you first thing, what are you doing? But you see, you're not doing anything. Then he says, the next thing. Then he's thinking there's something wrong with you. You're not doing anything in this world. That's the greatest disqualification, that you're not doing anything in this world. You should be doing something. And if you say that I'm not doing anything, you're studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, then the next question will be that, are you able to make a living from that? This is the question people will ask. This is the world. So that we have to be conscious of that. So in order that people don't ask you such a question, you go to work. So that they don't bother you. Somebody won't ask you and tell you why you're not working. We're not. So we also work. Everybody works then. So it's no point in blaming them why they're asking that question. Because this you can only understand that this is not our main business when you meet the realized souls. Up to that point, we are seeing people in this world all over who are doing the same thing like us. So when you see two realized souls meeting each other, how they conduct the business from there, they don't ask each other, what are you doing now? Or where are you working? How much are you earning? This kind of questions transactions won't happen between them. Once one Mahatma went to see another Mahatma who were on a higher level. So after their meeting, they separated and they were going their own way. So one of them writes about that meeting later on, which is known as Nirvriti Panchakam. Nirvriti Panchakam means that realized state, the experience what they had. Both of them were discussing that. That when they went there, they did not talk to each other. Ko namaha, ko deshaha. Where have you come from? What is your name? What is your occupation? No discussions at all. Only when they had to take some meal, they met, they invited each other and had the meal and they went back away in their own directions. So this is how in the realized state people transact their business. But in the conditioned state, we have these difficulties with us. So normally, general people, when they meet each other, all questions will be in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body, nothing else, isn't it? So, so this karmam, what we are engaged in, Krishna says here, that the karmam is mostly performed for vanity. Mostly performed for vanity. And naturally, you can see among the birds and bees, they don't have that vanity about karmam, isn't it? They don't have the vanity. They don't perform karmam like the way we do. They only work when they have to eat something. That's all. That much is what they need in life, and for that purpose they will work. After that they won't work. That is their principle. Because the working beyond that limit is, as far as they are concerned, is a waste of time. After they have worked enough, you don't see any animal for that, or birds, if you look at them, they don't go beyond than that. After a certain limit, when they had enough to eat, they find a shelter to somewhere to rest and they withdraw. So when they see us, human society, they feel very bad about us. So what has happened to these people? Why have they lost this sense that the morning to night, if we have to work in this world, they have no time for anything else. They're rushing here, rushing there, running all over the world. That is why, after realizing this, Krishna spoke the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, that is the next verse, fifth verse. Uddhare dalpana alpanam. Alpanam avasadayil. Atmanyai valpano bandhu. Atmai varibur alpanam. Uddhare dalpana alpanam. Alpanam avasadayil. Atmai vahi alpano bandhu. So, it is in that background this verse has been spoken. Translation, a man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So, here, Uddhare dalpana alpanam na avasadayet. Krishna is saying here that one for one, he himself is his friend and the enemy. He is his friend as well as his enemy. So, the same verse is spoken in other Vedic literatures also. Uddhare dalpana alpanam magnam samsara varidho yoga rudatvam asadhya samyak darshana nishtaya. Uddharedalpanalpanam. Krishna is saying here very clearly, it is our own responsibility to elevate us. It is not Krishna's responsibility. It is our responsibility. To elevate oneself is our responsibility. Krishna will say that in detail later. Elevating oneself in spiritual life is one's own responsibility. Uddharedalpanalpanam. Almanam na avasadayen, almanyai vahi, almano bandhu, almayi vavu ribiralmana. He says, so, we shouldn't expect somebody else to do that for us. That is a misunderstanding. It is like this. So, we are the cause of our own advancement, we are the cause of our own degradation in spiritual life. In spiritual life, we are the cause of our own advancement, our own degradation as well. So, what is indicating is, as he says in the, Prabhupada gave this example many times. If you put one and you put the loads of zeros after that, it has some value. But if you put the loads of zeros and if you put one after that, it has no value, isn't it? So that one makes the difference. One in the beginning and zeros afterwards, many zeros afterwards, that means that it has some value. If you put all the zeros and at the end you put the one, then it has no value. What it means is, if you don't keep Krishna in the front and keep all other activities as important, which are all zeros, everything else is a zero. Everything else what we do in this world is zero. All that zeros, and then if you put Krishna at the very end as one, then that is not going to help. But if you keep Krishna in the first as number one, and all the other material activities as zeros after that, then that life is worthwhile living. So here, giving importance to Krishna, and giving primary value to Krishna consciousness, and all other things at secondary, all other things in the secondary, then there is a possibility of udhared. There is a possibility of getting advancement. There is a possibility of spiritual advancement. So, on the other hand, if we keep all other activities as important and keeps Krishna as the last in life, then Krishna is saying here, avasadhanam. Na atmanam avasadaye, he says. That's called avasadhanam. Avasadhanam means this, that keeping everything else in life as important and Krishna as the last goal, then na atmanam avasadaye. When we say Atma, refers to Krishna. Krishna consciousness means realizing Krishna inside as the soul who is present in everyone. So, Uddhared Atman Atmanam, na Atmanam Avasadayed. Don't make Krishna as the last digit. Keep Krishna as the first digit and Uddhared. Elevate your life. That is that point Krishna is making there. Uddhared Atman Atmanam, na Atmanam Avasadayed. Don't put that soul, Krishna, as the last thing in life. Self-realization as the last thing, as the goal in life, but it's the first goal in life. That is what verse is talking about. Udharet Atman Atmanam na Atmanam Avasadayet. And then Krishna says, Atmanyevahi Atmano Banduhu. For Atma, for the self, self is the friend. And and for the self is the enemy also. So, it says here, Yoga Rudatvam Asadhyam Samyak Darshananishtayam. So, Yoga Rudatvam Asadhyam. Yoga Rudatvam Asadhyam means, somehow or the other, we have to get to that stage of Yoga Rudha state. Remember, Arurukshu and Yoga Rudha. We should not remain in the Arurukshu state for whole life. The goal is to get to the Yoga Rudha state. Arurukshu is that process to come to the state of Yoga Rudha. Arurukshu has desire to realize the self. Yoga Rudha is the one who has realized the self. So, Yoga Rudha state, Krishna says here, Yoga Rudhatva Masa Uddhared Atman Atmanam Magnam Samsara Varidho. Samsaram, one who has fallen into samsaram or material existence, one who is in complete identification with the body, mind, intelligence and the false ego, he has only one choice left. Uddhared Atman Atmanam. Elevate the soul from this state of consciousness. Yoga Rudatvam Asadhyam and Samyak Darshana Nishtayam. When he comes to that Yoga Rudha state, he will have Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam means the presence of Krishna in every living entity. Not seeing anymore separately. That is a realized state Krishna is talking about. So, when our desire and attachment for topics in this material world or sense gratification, when we have no taste for that and there is complete peace inside, Krishna says that is a Yoga Rudha state. Yoga Rudha state is like that. Desire has gone away from inside. Attachment for material life and advancement on the material life has left us. And once that has left us, Krishna says there will be peace inside, and that is a state of Yoga Rudha Krishna is talking about. So, in other words, one who has realized the self, he is called Yoga Rudha. So, Atmavidya or knowledge of the self is, or self-realization, purpose of that itself is to elevate oneself. So, in other words, when one is engaged in the process of self-realization, he is elevating himself. On the other hand, if he is always absorbed in his own body, he is degrading himself. This is the principle. So we have to look into ourselves and see what we are doing. When one is all the time absorbed in the soul, in self-realization process, he is elevating. But when he is constantly absorbed in thoughts of the body, body will give us more trouble. It is not going to go away. It will always only give you trouble. It's never going to give us any happiness. That is only a question of time. Everyone has to go through that. So accepting this reality, body is not meant for, Krishna is repeatedly saying thing, that body is not going to go. Body is not going to go with us. We have to leave. Body will leave us and go one day. So accepting that, not to absorb in the body more than what is necessary. More than what is necessary. So Krishna's point is that when Krishna says here, Uddhared Atman Atmanam Atmanam Navasadayet, means absorption should be always on the soul. Na Atmanam Avasadayed. Don't get absorbed in the body and bodily related subjects. Body will go its own way. We have no control over that. So we misunderstand things like this. That is when the message from Bhagavad Gita is very straightforward. that if we don't accept what Krishna is saying, all this chanting, dancing is not going to work. Because it's no meaning at all. When you are not accepting the main instruction from Krishna, Krishna is telling us in the second chapter, third chapter, constantly stressing on this point, Udhared Alpan Alpanam, that elevate the soul. Soul is individual. And Krishna talked about the soul so much to tell us, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. By nature, the soul is eternal. By nature, the soul is pure. By nature, the soul is fully conscious. By nature, the soul is always liberated. In on that, this Brahman, this illusion or delusion has come to us in the form of this body, mind, intelligence and ego. Now, because we have fallen into this trap of these four, body, mind, intelligence and ego, we are still thinking that if I can keep all these things together and make spiritual progress, Krishna is saying that is not going to happen. It will not work. It will remain just like it is considered like this, that you start a journey to cross a sea with a boat, but the boat is already tied here. It is anchored here at the place. Whole night you can sit in the boat and keep on rowing, but you in the morning when you look at it, you will see you are still where you were. So that is that point Krishna is making. Uddhared Alpan Alpanam. Come back to the platform of the soul and be absorbed in the soul. Na Alpanam Avasadayet. Don't go into topics which have no connection with the soul and absorb in that. Therefore, both things he has spoken. Uddhared Alpan Alpanam Na Alpanam Avasadayet. Why? Atmanyu Atmano Bandhu. Atma is the only friend of Atma. Neither body nor mind nor intelligence nor ego is a friend of the soul. That is why it said like that, Atmanyu Atmano Bandhu. For the soul, he is the only friend. There is no other friend. And similarly, Atmaiva Ribir Atmana. That if you identify with all these things, they can all become your enemies also. With this body, mind, intelligence and ego, if you identify with them, they all become your enemies. To such an extent, Krishna is warning us to come out of this bodily concept of life. That is the most important thing. So, then, this is exactly the point Krishna is making very clear again in the next verse. Bandhur Atmanastasyam Yenatmaivatmana Jitaham Anatmanastu Sarshatratvayam Vartedatmaiva Shatruvan Bandhur Atmanastasyam Yenatmaivatmana Jitaham Anatmanastu Shatratvayam Vartedatmaiva Shatruvad Bandhur Atmatmanastasya Yenatmaivatmana Jidaham Anatmanastu Shatrutve Vartedatmaiva Shatruvad. Krishna is saying, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Will be the greatest enemy. So, the mind, Krishna is saying, the Atma can become our friend. When will Atma become our friend? When we win over Atma. It is then that he becomes our friend. Or in other words, when we realize the self that there is nothing else in this creation except Atma. Except Atma. All other objects which is not Atma, when we reject them, that means the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, when we reject them, we will realize the self. We will realize the self. We will realize the soul. So, in that situation, Atma will be our friend. Atma will be our friend. So, that is what winning over Atma means. Winning over Atma means that winning over Atma means when we can get that realization of the self, rejecting all other things what we are not, like the body, the mind, intelligence and the ego, and constantly absorbed in the soul, it is at that stage, Krishna will say it is helpful to us. It will stay as our friend. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, When we say Atma, it is referred as Krishna, as the Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Puranjana Vakhyanam, if you take in the fourth canto, the first chapter, fourth canto, if you look, first talks about Manuvamsham, the descendants of Manu. Then in six chapters, there is the story of Daksha, Daksha Prajapati, and how Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva. That story is in six chapters. Then, after that, there is another six chapters which refers to the story of Dhruva, Dhruva Maharaj story. Manuvamsham, Daksha Charitam, Dhruva Charitam. Then, after that, then there is a story of Prithu Charitam, Prithu's story, isn't it? Prithu Maharaj story. Then, remaining five chapters, there is the Puranjana Vakhyanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Puranjana Vakhyanam is a subject of its own in the Bhagavatam. So Sudeva Goswami mentions there that Jiva, the living entity, unconditioned state, he is presented as Puranjana there, isn't it? He is presented as Puranjana. And behind that Puranjana, Krishna mentions there, sorry, Sudeva Goswami mentions there, Avijnata Sakha, Avijnata Sakha. At the end of Puranjana story, if you look, you will see there, Avijnata Sakha. Avijnata Sakha means an unknown friend comes in and gets him introduce himself to Puranjana and tells him that, are we not friends from long time? Why are we like this? Have you forgotten me? And takes him back to the spiritual world, Gautama Bodham going back. That this story is an allegorical story in the Bhagavatam, but it is there, this Avijnata Sakha is mentioned there. And that Sakha is the friend. That's that friend Krishna is talking about, who is walking with us all the time. And that is his friend. So Avijnata Sakha is a friend when you get closer to him. Otherwise, he is not your friend. If we are busy with material activities, he is not our friend. Krishna is not our friend inside. But when we turn our attention towards him and we want to go back to him, he looks at us and invites us at that time. So, he will stand with him and protect him in that state. In other words, when we take Krishna's shelter and taking always under Krishna's care and surrender to Krishna and live in that world, Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Sukhrutam Sarva Bhudanam Nyatvamam Shantim Ruchyati. That Avijnata Sakha in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Sukhrutam Sarva Bhudanam in the Bhagavad Gita, they are one and the same. In the Puranjana Vakhyanam, he comes as Avijnata Sakha, who is the unknown friend. He comes and takes you away. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Sukhrutam Sarva Bhudanam, I am your friend in that situation when Nyatvamam Shanti Mruchyati, when we realize that Krishna is the only shelter. All other shelter is false. All other shelter is false. So, in other words, once we take Krishna's shelter, who is a witness inside, and once we take his friendship, Krishna is saying that you are elevating yourself. The soul is getting elevated when we taking Krishna's shelter. On the other hand, if we take the shelter of other things, what are they? Shelter of our own body, thinking that I am capable of doing so many things, all the wealth, or our expertise in doing things in this world, karma kushalata, it is called. Dravyajnana kriya brahmam, isn't it? Three things. So if you take shelter of all those things, we are our own enemy. So in other words, dependence on Krishna. Krishna is saying there, dependence on Krishna and living in this world, in that way, if you conduct our business here, Krishna says, Udharedalpanalpanam. On the other hand, if we take shelter of our wealth in this world, our society, friendship, and all our connections in this world, or in the shelter of our wealth, or in the shelter of our ability or expertise in our hands, and thinking that that will protect me, Krishna says, you are going away from the fact, from the truth. So, all those things will leave us one day, isn't it? Anatma chindanam tektva kashmalam dukhakaranam. And chindayatmanam anandam rupam yan mukti karanam. So, why we should not take shelter of these things? The reason is this. they are all called anatma. Anatma. Anatma chintanam tyaktva. Krishna is saying there, this thoughts about anatma, feeling shelter in something in this world, which is anatma, which is asat, which is asat. Feeling shelter in the body, shelter in the mind, or shelter in our intelligence, our expertise, our wealth in this world, or our social connections, all this is anatma chintanam. It's referred to as anatma chintanam. So, so if we keep on absorbed in anatma, we will become anatma. We'll become anatma. So when we say these words, Uddhared Atman Atmanam Atmanam Navasadayed, Krishna is meaning to say to us that so many years in life you have put all your faith and shelter in all this Anatma Vastu. Anatma Vastu means everything outside Krishna, outside Krishna. That's all Anatma Vastu. So to take that attention from Anatma Vastu and to its moon towards the Atma Vastu, that is what it says here. That anatma chintanam tyaktva kashmalam dukhakaranam. If we take shelter of anatma vastu, it will only lead us into distress. Only lead us into distress. And chintaya atmanam anandam rupam yan mukti karanam. When we take shelter of the soul inside, and when we become closer, absorbed in the soul and shelter in the soul, that will lead us into liberation. That will lead us into liberation. Basically, the point Krishna is making is that this separation with the soul and the body, or all the all that is what is not the us, which is mind, body, intelligence and ego, that separation must happen inside. Must happen inside. We cannot have spiritual life keeping all these things together, mind, body, intelligence and the ego. Those things are anatma vastu. They will not help us in our spiritual life. So, constantly absorbed in the soul, in the self, Krishna says there, that is our swarupam. Or in other words, to take the shelter of the swarupam, and if we take that shelter of our own swarupam, then you have become your friend. Then you are your own friend. Otherwise, Krishna says, that one who has not one's own mind, because where does this thought coming from of an anatma vastu? That to find shelter in anatma vastu, or which is not the soul, is coming from the mind. Is coming from the mind. So therefore, he will remain as a enemy. The mind will remain as a enemy. Udhared atman atmanam, atmanam na avasadayet. Atmanyev atmano bandhu, atmayev ribir atmana. So that is why we say that actually it is like carrying a monkey inside. This thing called the mind, isn't it? It's a monkey inside. And this monkey will give you trouble. And monkey will give a lot of problems also. It will stay inside and give trouble from there. And the same mind, when it is offered to Krishna at that time, and when Krishna takes control of the mind, and that mind will turn to be a good friend also for us. So that's a verse that Krishna is saying in that verse. He says there that Bandhur Atmaltmanas Tasya Yenatmayu Atmana Jidaha Analtmanastu Shatrutve Varted Atmayva Shatruvat. Bandhur Atmaltmanas Tasya. This mind will be a friend as long as if he is in Krishna service. And the moment he turns into the service of Analtma Vastu, which means the body, my intelligence and mind, ego, if the identification is there, then there is no possibility of Krishna saying there, self-realization, Uddhared Atman Atmanam na Atmanam. It is not possible to elevate the soul. It is not possible to elevate the soul. So, in the... so, this taking shelter in body, mind, intelligence and ego, these things in Shastram it is referred to as avidya or ajnanam. Ajnanam or avidya means this, that always feeling shelter in the body, shelter in the mind, shelter in my own capacity, intelligence and in the ego associated with that. All this is called as avidya. So because of that, this ignorance in us inside, is what is called as the impurity of the mind. So if you keep on inquiring outside for that knowledge, it won't help. The purification is required inside, not outside. Outside purification won't help. The purification is necessary inside. It is within us, this false concept that I'll be sheltered by the body, by the mind, by the intelligence and the ego. So this misunderstanding is what is known as avidya, or ignorance in is us. And because of that, ragam and dvesham has developed. Attachment and aversion has developed. And it is that mind which is our enemy. And without changing this situation with the mind, whatever we may do outside or control outside, it's not going to help. It's not going to help the situation. It's not going to help the situation. So if you remember the history of Alexander the Great, he started conquering all over the world, isn't it? From Greece he started this journey and carried on and on and on. And all the battles he fought, he won the battle. And he conquered right from Greece all the way to Bharatavarsham. He has conquered the whole land. And even Bharatavarsham he has conquered. And eventually when he was going through Benares, there he saw one yogi lying down underneath the tree. And he was enjoying the sunshine. At the same time, he was in his own world. He was living in his own world. So, he was 32 years old. Alexander was 32 years old at that time. And Alexander saw him and went back to his palace and sent his minister to bring that yogi to the palace. So, the minister goes to this yogi and tell him that Alexander has invited you to come to the palace. Yogi said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. If he wants to see me, he can come. This is the yogi's reply to the minister. So the minister goes back and reports that. And Alexander, and then Yogi, when he answered this, he smiled. So when he goes back to Alexander and tells Alexander that this is the reply he has given. So Alexander comes back and talks to this yogi later. And says to the yogi that, why have you replied this? Don't you know that I have conquered so many places? Do you not accept me as the authority? Yogi says to him, whatever you have conquered, that's all already lost. That's not there anymore with you. And Alexander was telling him, I would like to take you to my country, to Greece. He says to him. So, and the reply from him was, what? If you read in the Bhagavadam, Jatavarada says to Rahugana, it's exactly the same thing he spoke, but not in these verses. Verses says, Toyodidam vyaktam avipralabdham bhartursyame syadidi virabhava gandur yadisyal adigamimadhva vivedi yashau avidam pravadaha. That gandur yadisyal adigamimadhva. If you look into the fifth canto, you will see there this verse. Gandur yadisyal adigamimadhva. Jadabharata is saying this to Rahugana. What does that mean? Gandur yadasyal adhigami madhva. He says to him, when Jadabharata was invited, he says, where will I go? He has left his body, already is not in the bodily identity. He is totally fixed up on the platform of the soul. And as far as he is concerned, soul is present everywhere. And that soul is present in everywhere. It's only the soul that is present. So, when everywhere the soul is present, where will the soul move? To where will that move? From this place to that place, you are telling me to move. Where will I move? Because I am present there also. I am present here also. I am present here, I am present outside, I am present everywhere. Isn't it? So, when you are present everywhere, where can you move to anywhere else? So, that's what he said. Gandur yadasyar adhigamya madhvaham. So, is there any place where I am not present? That was his question. Jadabharata asked this question to Rahugana. That is there somewhere a place you can show it to me where I am not present? Rahugana is speaking to him from the platform of the body. Jadabharata is answering from the platform of the soul. ഓൾ സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസ് സോൾ ഹാവ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺ ദ സോൾ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇറ്റ്സ് പ്രസന്റ് എവ്രിവെയർ വെൻ ദ സോൾ ഇസ് പ്രസന്റ് എവ്രിവെയർ വേർ ക്യാൻ ദ സോൾ ഗോ ഫ്രം വൺ പ്ലേസ് ടു അനദർ ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് സ്റ്റെപ്പ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ that when we say you have to see krishna everywhere what does that mean does that mean that everywhere we will see only krishna that everybody looks like krishna that he has got bluish color and peacock feather and that everywhere I look everywhere it's only krishna that's not what it means that's a misunderstanding this is what that understanding is this that it's only soul everywhere that is present in the bhagavatam in several places it's mentioned isn't it that you have to see krishna's presence everywhere What does it mean? It means this, that what Jadabrata is saying to him, Gandhur yadesyal adhigamya madhvaha, that wherever I look, there is only soul. There is no matter anywhere. There is only soul that is present. Matter is a state which is jadam, isn't it? Jadam is matter. It's a transformed state from the soul. But once you have lost that vision of the jadam and it has moved towards the soul, you don't see the matter anymore. Matter doesn't exist for us anymore, for those who have realized the truth. So that's why he asks here, whichever direction I turn, I'm only seeing the soul. And there is no place anywhere where I can go to. Complete realization. So Atmavastu, when it is filled everywhere, where will I go? Where will I travel to? Where will I travel to? So this is the point Krishna is saying here, that this realization that a yogi also says to Alexander. Alexander says to the yogi, you are absolute fool you are, he says to him, that you are trying to control this world outside, keep on grabbing every piece of land, every country, thinking that it is mine, it is mine, because it will all at the end it'll end up in disaster, in failure. You will all fail in this. It is not going to go further than that. You will not be able to do anything about it. Because that is the mudatvam or the foolishness of the people who are in the materialistic life, isn't it? They keep on adding on, adding on, adding on, never satisfied. And that is what it is said here. The yogi says to Alexander, that where do you want me to go? I won't be going anywhere. I am everywhere present. That realization has come to him. Alexander paid his obeisances and left. He understood his own foolishness. And that is why, after that, when Alexander left his body, he mentioned one important statement. It's well known. Alexander says at that time, when I came to this world, I held my hand like this. When I leave this world after death, he says, please leave my hands wide open. Here is a man who has come to conquer this whole world to take it with him. But here he is leaving with not one penny in the hand, both the hands fully open. So this is the reality, isn't it? All that we have struggled so hard all lifetime to add on, increase it. Every year we have to increase by, against the RPI or whatever that is. Accordingly, their life should get better. Economic indicators should go up. Where is it going to hit at the end? He did this at that place. That's where it will all end. All economic indicators pay their obeisances there. It finishes there. So this sense won't come very easily. Whole life is planning going on. How to add, invest in this, invest in that. But everything at the end, it all fails. So that is why Alexander did it in a much bigger scale. We are doing it in a smaller scale. That's all. Alexander did it in a much bigger scale. He was invading country after country, adding on. And at the end, when the yogi told him that you are a complete fool to do this, then he came to his senses. And he said, understood what the yogi was saying, that it is only foolishness in me that I have kept on working like this and adding on to my life this thing which was unnecessary and nothing will go with me. So Alexander says at that point, when I leave this world, leave both my hands wide open. So that let the people learn one lesson from me at least. Here is a man who has come to conquer the whole world and is leaving this world completely empty-handed. Completely empty-handed. So that is why. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, at the very end of Bhagavatam, Bhumi Devi spoke about this in a very sarcastic way. A very sarcastic tone she spoke about it. She didn't talk about us. She talked about some famous personalities who had come to this world to control her. She says, they have all come, they have all walked on my chest, thinking that I am her, I am theirs. And there is a list there. I'll read out that list, and the list is very impressive. Very, very impressive list. We are not in the list, so we don't have to worry. But the list is very good. The list is saying there, says here, first of all, before the list started, Bhumidevi says there, Abudhaya, who had no intelligence, and also calls them as Mudha. They are all Mudhas, he says. What is that? Mama evaham mahi krishna nate mude divadina spardhamana midoghandi mriyande malkrade nrupaha. Normally, we only talk about Prime Minister, President and all that. Newspapers and all talk about them mostly, isn't it? Similarly, Bhumidevi also only talk about the kings and the rulers of that time, who are ruled up to that point. Or very wealthy people, who have acquired a lot of wealth in this world, thinking that it's all mine, I am in the Fortune 500 list, or I am this, I am that, who are identifying in that way. So, Bhumidevi's list, if you look to, start with Prithu. Prithu, Prithu Purura Vaghadir Nahusho Bharadarjuna Mandhado Sagaro Rama Gatwango Dunduharaku Trinabindurya Sharyadi Shandanur Gaya Bhagirada Kuvalayasha Kukutso Naishado Nagaha Hiranyakashipu Vrutra Ravano Loga Ravana Namuji Shambaro Bhaumo Hiranyachoda Taragam Anyeja Bahavo Daityarajano Ye Maheshwaraha Sarve Sarva Vidashuraha Sarve Sarva Jido Jidaha. Starting from Prithu, then Pururavas, King Pururavas, famous king, isn't it? From whom the lunar dynasty has started, is Prithu. Sorry, Pururavas. Prithu's story is well known. In the fourth canto, you know, six chapters relating to Prithu. Another incarnation of Krishna. Krishna's incarnation. He also wanted to control earthly planet, isn't it? Bhumidevi, he also tried to control her. So Bhumidevi is saying to us, such great people have tried, like Prithu, like Pururavas, Gandhi, Vishwamitra's father, Nahusha, the who took the, got the power, got the role of the king Indra when Indra fell from the heavenly planets. Nahusha got that position. Bharata, Bharata everybody knows who Bharata is. Arjuna and Mandhada, the great king in the solar dynasty. Sagara, under whose name Sagaram has come, all the oceans have come. Rama, Parashuram, Khatwanga, famous king in the solar dynasty, Dunduha, Raghu, the Raghava, who, under whose name Ramchandra's dynasty is known, Trinabindu, another great king, Yayadi, Krishna's ancestor, Sharyadi, another great personality, Shandanu, Bhishma's father, Gaya, another great king, Bhagiratha, who brought Ganga River here, Kuvalyasha, another powerful king, Kukutsa, another great king, Naishada king, Mrga, which comes in the 10th canto, who was also a great personality. Hiranyakashipu, we don't have to say who he was. Vritrasura, Ravana, Loga Ravana, he says. Ravana, he has given a special explanation here. Ravana, one who has made the whole world cry. Ravana, Loga Ravana. And then Namuji, Shambharam, Bhauman, Hiranyaksha, Taraga. All these great personalities, Bhumidevi is saying, they walked over me and they wanted to control me. They wanted to control me. Even they had to go. Even they could not stay here. So if it is like that, Sudeva Goswami is saying to us that what chance have we got? That if they couldn't do it, these are not ordinary people, were they? They had control not only earthly planet, they even controlled the heavenly planets. Hiranyakashipu even went to the heavenly planets and even to the lower planetary system. Indra, he went and fought with him and beat him up from there. So when such is the case, so this is the same situation that whatever we do in the world outside, at the end they will all leave us. We have to leave them. And even if you don't give it up, they will give us up. They will give us away, us away. In other words, one should only need to work in this world only what is necessary for essential things. Therefore, and this is yogis call it as aparigraha dharmam. Remember? Aparigraham. Parigrahaya dukhanam. In the 24 spiritual masters, there is one personality who is referred to particularly for aparigraha dharmam. Abhigrahadharma means accepting what is necessary to maintain this body in this world. More than that, not to engage the energy in that direction. So, if you allocate more than that, Krishna is saying here, that will give us distress later. So the yogi says to Alexander that human society does not require so much to live in this world, and necessity also, and there is no need to control all the countries of this world. In other words, Alexander opened his eyes at that stage. For my short period in this world, do I need all these countries to live here in this world? In other words, they will all become a cause of distress later. And if you invade them and control them, yogi also told him, it will be like a dog's tail. That you will control them, and as soon as you walk out, less like the dog's tail, they will free themselves from your control. They will free themselves from your control. So that's what it says. One who has found out this truth, such a person, then such a person can advance in spiritual life. One who has realized this truth. This is the principle. Though otherwise, the mind will become his enemy. So one who has found the kingdom inside, not the kingdom outside. There is a huge kingdom inside in relationship with the soul. That is the spiritual world. That spiritual world we enter into, and inquiry begins there of controlling that kingdom, he will escape. Not the one who tries to control the kingdom outside. In the Upanishads, the way it is spoken is, sa swarad bhavati, sa sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavati. Such a person who has done that, gone inwards looking for that kingdom inside, sa swarad bhavati. He become fully independent. Completely independent he becomes. Sa swarad bhavati. So, sa sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavati. Such a person, sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavati. One who is running after all sense gratification in this world, he will never find it. He will never find it. So, Atmanam, Atma Bashyad, Atma Dakshinaha, Atma Uttaraha. One who has realized the soul inside, for him, Atma Dakshinaha, Atma Uttaraha. For the east and west, north and south, there is only soul. There is nothing else exists for him. So, Swaraj Bhavadi, he is the king. He is actually the king. Swaraja Simhasanam. For him, there is nothing to be gained from anywhere in this world. Nothing else to be gained for him. He doesn't have to be frightened about Ishvara, about the controller even. He doesn't have to be frightened about all. So, why? Because he has already realized that Krishna is present inside as the soul, present inside. So, for him, he has not developed another personality based on the false ego. He has no identity anymore with the false ego. That's why it is here, sa swarad bhavadi. He is completely independent at that stage. At that stage. So, in the Bhagavatam, when this issue is spoken, when this topic is spoken, identification with the soul, this is an important point. When we identify with the soul, first thing what happens is, we get freed from fear. We get freed from fear. Because the soul that is, please come forward. When we are freed from the, when we are freed from identification with the body, Krishna is saying here that the first thing we get released is from fear. Is get released from the fear. That is why people ask this question. Should I not be frightened of God? Frightened of God. That's a big thing, isn't it? God-fearing, we say. Why do we say God-fearing? Because we have separated ourselves from Krishna that way. In seeing from the bodily level. Seeing ourselves as the body, mind, intelligence. So it is from that. But when realization happens, Krishna's point is that as soon as you come to the platform of the soul, nothing else exists. After that, it's only the soul that is present. And the presence of the soul, fear goes away. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this very explicitly mentioned there also. That as long as you have a feeling there is a second thing existing, then you have always fear. Always there is fear. As long as you are aware there is a second thing existing in this world, then there is always there is a cause for fear. But once you realize there is no such thing, there is a second thing existing in this world. Second thing is existing because on the identification with the body. When the identification with the body goes away, and we come to the platform of the soul and realize that only soul exists, there is the second thing goes away. That is why in the Bhagavadam, Kavi Maharshi says there, what does he say? Bhayam didiyal abhinivesatasyal ishad abedasa vibharyayo smriti. If you look, remember, Kavi Maharshi, the first of the nine yogis, when he saw King Nimi, where is this fear coming from? He asked this question. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesatasyal. Bhayam or fear is coming from this understanding, there is something outside me existing. If I realize that it's only the soul that is present everywhere and there is nothing outside the soul existing, the fear naturally leaves. That's why he says here, Bhayam didiyal. Didiya means the secondary thing. Abhinivesatasyal. If we get the experience, there is a secondary thing existing, there is a second thing existing, from that I have to expect fear from that second thing. But when I realize there is only one thing that is existing as the soul, abhinivesatasyal ishad abedasa vipareyo smriti, I have lost that smriti or memory of my existence with the soul, as the soul, and I fall into the bodily platform, therefore I have fear in me at the moment. So that leaves us when we come out of that bodily identity. So, just like you have seen something in the darkness, something in the darkness. But when you put the light on, you can't see anything. You can't see anything. But later on, when you switch the light off, you realize it was your own shadow that you are frightened about. Your own shadow. So, actually it is that shadow that is the, because as soon as it's on the room, somebody else, that you got frightened about that. So similarly here, Kavi Maharshi is saying here, Bhayam Dudiyal Abhinivesha Tasyal, that Abhinivesham of the Dudiyam or the secondary thing is called this problem. So strictly speaking, Krishna is saying there is nothing outside Brahman. Brahman is the whole thing, all pervading Brahman, isn't it? Sarva Bhudesha Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. What does that mean? Edani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavatama. The same message. When it is spoken as a devotee and spoken as a jnani, it's two language, that's all. In essence, it is a one and the same thing. Who is the best devotee? He asked a question. So, Hari Maharshi is replying, Sarva Bhudesha Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. That is the reply, isn't it? The reply, Edani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavad Uttama. He is a first class devotee, Bhagavad Uttama. Who? Sarva Bhudesha Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. What is this Bhagavad Bhavam? Bhagavad Bhavam? What Hari is saying there is, Hari is saying, Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities, a Pashed, one who sees Bhagavad Bhavam. Bhagavad Bhavam means what? As I said before, not that everyone I'll see as Krishna. You won't see everybody as Krishna. What you will see is that in all living entities, what is present is only the soul. The body is not their real identity, in other words. For example, when we meet each other, we introduce each other. I am so-and-so, you are so-and-so, whatever that is. But that introduction is all with reference to the body, isn't it? It's all with reference to the body. But one who has advanced in understanding of the soul, he will not say anymore in identification with the body. He sees that it is the same soul who is present in me, is present in somewhere else, some other living entities also. And he knows that that soul is one. Sarabhudeshu yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. Bhudani Bhagavati Esha Savai Bhagavadottama. Only if that understanding is there, Hari is saying there, Bhudani Bhagavati Esha. That means all living entities are living in me and I am living in all other living entities. That's what it means. Bhudani Bhagavati Esha Savai Bhagavadottama. Sarabhudeshu yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. He is a first class devotee who has come to this understanding of the nature of the soul, which is present in all the living entities. And it is only the soul that is perceived by him through his consciousness. He is not seeing that person anymore on the bodily level. On the bodily level. Whereas, like we do, we try to be happy in this world, keeping this body with us. Similarly, the same mistake we will do if we start thinking everybody else will remain the same and then we will be spiritually advanced as well. That won't happen. That's not possible. Just like as we plan our life, we want to stay in this world happily, keeping this body happy and the mind happy, intelligence happy, senses happy, and still say we'd like to be Krishna conscious as well. Krishna is saying that will not work because this body is meant to give you distress one day. It will cheat you and it will go its own way. So first thing is to realize this. This body, I have nothing to do with it. It has come upon me and it will leave me also when the time is due. It will leave us. Similarly, even in the realized state, if we are still thinking that all my society, friends and everyone will be there intact as before and I'll still be the pure devotee, that will not happen. That's also another warning. Krishna is saying that at that state, that society, friendship, all that bodily identity will be gone. What you will see at that stage, Krishna is saying, sarvabhudeshu yapashyet. You will see that thing only. What's that thing? The soul. In everyone. Bhudani bhagavati esha. All over, you will only, in all Bhudam, Bhagavan, Krishna is only present there as the soul inside. So that is that point Krishna is making here. So such a person and one who has not realized this in this life and he still keeps on thinking, I am this body and worrying about the body. For him, Krishna is saying that ajnanam, that avidya will not help him at all in his spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna says, find out that soul, whom what you are. That's what Krishna is addressing in that verse. And that person who has found out that, he is called Chidatma. Chidatma is a word used there. Or one who has known the soul, one who has won that battle. And what is his experience? What is his state of consciousness? That is what is discussed in the next verse.
Jidalmana prashantasya paramatma samahitam shitoshna sukadukhesho tadhamana pamanayom. Jidalmana prashantasya paramatma samahitam shitoshna sukadukhesho tatha mana pamanayom. Jidalpana prashandasya paramatma samahida shitoshna sukadukhesho tatha mana pamanayom. Translation: for one who has conquered the mind, the supersoul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So, from now on, you will see all these things Krishna is referring to is what is the state of a person who is in the self-realized state. Suppose somebody says to you, someone is self-realized, we will have a lot of misunderstanding about it in our own mind. Or we may have formed a picture about a self-realized person who's got a long white beard or matted hair, or he has got a kantimala or rudraksham on the neck, and he's always in a city looking at the sky. Some kind of false impressions we create in us, isn't it? That's due to the just the way they present it to us in the movies, in the cinemas, and all dramas and all. You will, Narada Maharshi, as soon as you see Narada Maharshi, you think that Narada Maharshi is always carrying this tamburu or veena in his hand, and he has got this white beard, and the way in which he wears the dhoti. All this is the image we have in us. So similarly, about a self-realized soul also, we will have a lot of impressions in us, in our own mind. So because it is important that we don't carried away by the dress and the external thing, Krishna is talking about the internal side of that person. Internal side of that person. First thing Krishna says, that person who has come to this realization that there is no second thing exists in this world. The bhayam didiya abhinivesha tasyal. He has no fear. That is the first quality. He has no fear. The self-realized soul has no fear. Why? Because for him there is no second thing existing. Only if there is a second thing, you have to be frightened about it. When there is no second thing existing in this world, what should I be frightened about? All I am seeing, the realized soul is seeing, is only the soul that is present everywhere. All this outside dress, this body, different bodies, what is manifested in this world, in the gross level, for a realized soul doesn't exist. So he does not get frightened over seeing so many gross bodies all over the world. It doesn't frighten him anymore, because he's seeing there that it is Krishna who is present there in everything. It's Krishna who is present there in everything. So because of that, he says there, bhayam didiyat abhinivesha tasyal. Ishat abedasya vireyo smriti. Bhayam leaves him. First thing, the fear leaves him. And in this verse, Krishna is saying here, so long as you have the mind, so long as you have the mind's nature is always in duality. All this is called a duality. Duality means that these two things existing. Two. Everything two. That you have to be there. You can observe your own mind, how powerful the mind is in this direction. In this direction. So, as soon as you say somebody tells you something good about something, immediately the bad side will also come to you, straight away. The mind will look for what other defects has he got. Somebody tells you something good about someone, immediately you will also think, what other things are there, what is the bad side of him. That also comes in, straight away. That is the nature of the mind. Whenever there is something good, immediately the bad should follow with that. That is the dual nature of the mind. Sometimes parents discuss, one parent says about a child in another house, oh, he is so nice, well-behaved, well-trained, does everything, listens to his parents, everything. And then immediately what he'll say, there's one at our house. He'll turn back and say, why is that? It is that mind that plays this game. He will glorify another child somewhere else and say, straight away he'll go back to his own and say, the man not at home, he never listens. I can do anything about him. So this is the mind. That is called the game mind is playing with us. That in everything we touch in this world, immediately duality pops up there, straight away. So that is the very nature of the mind. As soon as there is a positive thought, immediately there is a negative thought along with that, comes in. So, as soon as somebody tells you about the cold weather, the heat comes in straight away. As soon as somebody tells you about the hot weather, immediately the winter is coming, you'll say. Then thoughts go straight into the cold weather. So, happiness, mind only understands this language, duality. Sukham, dukham. Happiness has to be spoken along with distress. Only then the mind will, unless you compare this, mind cannot understand it. If you only talk about happiness in this world, mind will have no interest. Only if you talk about dukkham in this world, mind has no interest. After some time, mind will fall asleep. Or whether it is sukham or dukkham. But if you keep on talking about sukham and dukkham, mind will give attention to it. Why? It enjoys duality. That's the nature of the mind. Mind is a very interesting phenomenon. That's why in the Shastram, mind is referred to as anirvajaniya shakti. From the soul, this unusual power has come out called mind, which cannot be defined, how it has come out and how it is functioning. But it's anirvajaniyam, and it cannot be defined at all. That is the nature of the mind. So, mind will not stay in one of the things, and it is like a pendulum. It goes from happiness to distress, heat to cold, or boy to girl, or from black to white. Like this, it has to keep shifting its position. That is the nature of the mind. So similarly, that is why all these things, sukham, dukham, happiness and distress, similarly, tatha manapa manayo, Krishna says in that verse, isn't it? Shidoshna sukadukeshu tatha manapa manayo. All these things are the games that the mind is playing. It is the mind which is playing this game. Shidam ushnam, happiness and distress, and manam apamanam. Mana means somebody praising you. And avamana means somebody insulting you. All are in relationship with the body. But the mind accept it. Why? Because the duality is there. Tatha manabhamanayo. One alone will not stay. If there is somebody glorifies you, you can take it that there will be insult after that. From somewhere it will come. somebody will criticize you for something. Somebody will tell you for a minute, oh, you have done well, you have done this, you have done that. And you will feel happy. Very next moment, somebody will come and kick you and tell you, you are such a nonsense. It will happen that way. And then you start thinking, only a few minutes ago somebody was saying, I am doing well. The very next minute, someone else, then you are confused altogether at that point, isn't it? Particularly children. So father will shout at him. The mother will say, you are a good boy. And the child gets confused. So am I good or bad? You'll ask this question, isn't it? So this is the mind does. The mind does this. So that's why Krishna is saying here, Shidoshna Sugadukeshu Tadha Manava Manayam. And in all these situations, it cannot stay alone. So manam avamanam. So one who has done enough advancement in the path of self-realization, first thing he realizes the soul, that I have nothing to do with all these things. That mind is not, I am not this mind. This mind is playing its own game. So only when he realizes the self, manam avamanam, or insult and glorification will not disturb him anymore. Because I am not that anyway. All this manavamanam or sukha-dukham is all in relationship with the body. So Krishna says here that this shariram or material body only experiences all these things. The dualities of this world is in relationship with the mind, isn't it? So the mind and body together is creating this problem for us. Heat, cold, happiness, distress, pleasure and pain, and insult and glorification. All these things is all in through the mind and the body it is working. But when self-realization happens, Krishna says, once he has found the soul, he will not find any attraction to any of these things. He will not find any attraction to any of these things. Because he has analyzed things very well inside and have come to understand that he is not this body, not the mind. That realization has come to him. So similarly, people will tell you also that you have gone very fat or you have gone very thin. And sometimes they say that all these things are in relationship with the body, isn't it? Or they'll say your hair has gone grey, you're getting old, or or the teeth has gone away. All these kind of remarks will come in this world. But whatever it is happening, the self-realized personality, he is always aware that I am not this body. I am not this body. That we never realize this, because while being in this body, we don't take notice of that. This changes what is happening in the body. When we are in our own body, we take notice of the changes what's happening in every else's body. But we don't take notice of the change that is happening in our own body. You know, because unless we look at the mirror every day and look at what changes are happening in the body, probably when you get 50 or 45, 50, you'll start hair going grey. Till then you won't worry about it. After that you start thinking, oh, there's a little bit of grey, but still I'm strong. You feel like that. So this illusion, Krishna is saying here, that the continuous changes that is happening within oneself, he is not experiencing it. What is the reason for that? The reason is that this constant awareness of my existence, that is not disturbed. Till that is disturbed, the changes happening in the body will not disturb you. You only thing is when it becomes the machinery breakdown, it does not function anymore, that is another thing. But the changes constantly happening in the body is not noticed for this reason only. Why? Because of the presence of the soul inside, and because you are so conscious of the soul, self-realization is not a big science in that sense. If we understand this very fundamentals of our existence in this world, you can see we are all conscious of ourselves, of our existence all the time. That means the soul is not a new thing which requires introduction to us. It's already there. And the awareness of the soul is also there in us. What has happened is this Brahman, what Krishna calls it as the Brahman, that has come to us that I'm not this, I'm something different than all these things. That's what has happened to us. So, so therefore, if you want to notice a change in you, you have to take the mirror and look at it. And this is the reason why sannyasis are not allowed to look at the mirrors. I don't know whether you know about that. Nowadays sannyasis maybe look at the mirror, I don't know. But normally, Sannyasis are told not to look at the mirror. Why? Because if you are looking at the mirror, that means he's back into the same old state like us. Where is the difference? Where is the difference? So, sannyasis are not allowed to look at the mirror for one reason only, because he has left this body and is already in the state of realization. State of realization. Self-realized souls won't look at the body. If you look at all self-realized souls, they won't look at their own body. The body is going its own way, they are going their way. That's their attitude towards the body. It has to be like that. We can't keep the body with us all the time thinking that everything will be fantastic. It's not going to happen. So this is the point Krishna is saying here, that if you look at the mirror, you'll start thinking, have I got fat or am I losing my weight? Those who are very fat, they'll be thinking, am I losing? Those who are very thin, they'll be thinking, am I getting fatter? So both things, that mind will play the game again. Mind will bring both, fat and thin. That consciousness will come. So a person who is advancing on the spiritual path, Krishna is saying, these changes won't even touch him. It cannot even touch him. Let the body be as it is, whatever it is. Sometime it will be fat, sometime it will be thin. What does it matter? At the end, I am not that body anyway. So, and sometimes people will tell you, oh, you look very tired, or you look very depressed. You may not be depressed, but they'll tell you, make you depressed by saying this. That's also there. They'll make you feel depressed, even if you are not depressed. So, at that time, then you have to look at the mirror. Am I looking depressed? So you'll have to look and verify that, isn't it? So if you understand that I am something different, all this depression in the face and all that has nothing to do with the soul. It's either you may be experiencing some pain in the body. You could be feeling some misery because of that. Or some problem may be disturbing your mind. And that could come out in the form of some depression on the face. All that has nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. So, actually, what are we doing? We are superimposing the problems of the mind, body and other things on the soul. That's what he is doing it, isn't it? Aropanam. This is called Aropanam. Aropanam means the problem with the body, problem with the mind, all these things you are superimposing on the soul and thinking that you are suffering from that. So, similarly, When you are glorified in this world, actually what is it? You are glorifying the body. Somebody's person as a body. So, if you respect my body, you have respected me. If you respect my body, you respected me. If you insult my body, you have insulted me. That's how it comes, isn't it? If you have respected my body, you have respected me. If you have insulted my body, you have insulted me. But the soul inside is not experiencing any of these things. It is again the game what the mind and the body is playing together. Body is playing together. So nobody can actually insult anybody. And nobody can glorify also anyone. So Krishna says here, Sadha manabhamanayo. Due to our own ignorance, we are thinking somebody is glorifying you or somebody is insulting you. As soon as you accept that, I am this body, then all this distress will follow that. All this distress will follow that. You will feel insulted and you will feel praised also. On the other hand, if you realize that I am not this body, and no matter how many pieces you break this body into, that spurti inside from the soul, that is what is known as spurti, isn't it? Spurti means through the senses it's coming out. That to find this world and trying to experience this world, that is the presence of the soul. I am that spurti. Spurti is the word used in the Shastra. So, that spurti is not changing, isn't it? Even if you cut my hand off or leg off, the consciousness I am my existence or awareness, you can't reduce it. It doesn't come to 80% or 60% or 50%. Suppose you have taken out of my two hands, one hand you cut off or one leg you cut off. Do my awareness or my existence of my awareness come down? It doesn't come down. I'm still feeling I am there. I am is complete. So that thing, Krishna says here, that so long as you are conscious of this awareness, which is actually the symptom of the soul inside, from whom this thought is coming, that my existence of that thought, so that is unaffected completely. In the Upanishads it says, ദേഹം മൃണ്മവയത് ജഡാത്മകം അഹം ബുദ്ധിർന്ന തസ്യാസ്തി അഹോ നാഹം തത് സുപ്തിസമയ തദ് ആത്മസദ്ഭാവ. ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് എ ക്ലേ പോട്ട് മെയ്ഡ് ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ദി ക്ലേ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ ഡെഡ് മാറ്റർ. ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ ലൈഫ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. ചേതന, ദർ ഈസ് നോ ചേതന ഇൻസൈഡ്. ചേതന, വെൻ ദി ലൈഫ് എൻറ്റേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ്, കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കംസ് അനദർ ഒബ്ജെക്ട്. ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കംസ് അനദർ ഒബ്ജെക്ട്. And inside that, the spurana begins. Spurana means that the soul, when the body is created, inside when the soul enters, it's only at that point this consciousness of me comes in. Consciousness of me comes into that body. Till that, the body has no consciousness at all. So presence of the soul is straight away whips up inside of this existence. And at that point, it is that required, that spurana, that spuranam that is coming from the soul. If you keep on analyzing that, who is, what is this spuranam, where is this coming from, what is the nature of that, you can see that it is completely independent of the material body. Completely independent of the material body. And that nature is what is eternal, pure, fully conscious, and fully liberated soul, what Krishna is referring to. So spiritual identity or spiritual nature is such. In Srimad Bhagavatam also you will see repeatedly all the great personalities talking about the soul in this way. Soul has no connection with the body. When you we have to understand that very well, that body has its own route made out for that. The body has to go in that direction. Soul has its own route made out in one direction. It has to go in that route. And when we come to this realization that body and the soul have two different routes to go to, then that is, he is known as Chidatma. One who has known the Chidatma. Chidatma is addressed is in that way. So, when will that happen? Krishna is saying, in order that to happen, it doesn't take very long time. It doesn't take very long time. Why? Because this, at the moment, the current identity with the body, mind and ego and intelligence is like an ignorance, avidya in us. Avidya means darkness, isn't it? Darkness. Suppose a room in a forest is totally dark. There's a cave which is totally dark. We want to take the darkness out of that cave. In order to take the darkness away, somebody went and reported to the king. The king says, I'll get the darkness out from there. He comes with the army and try to get rid of the darkness. Darkness won't go. Because darkness only will go when you bring the light inside. Isn't it? Only when you bring the light inside, the darkness will go. So similarly, this knowledge of the soul is the only way you can come out from this darkness of the body. Darkness of the body. There is no other substitute for that. Unless this understanding comes deeply inside, till then, this darkness of body will follow us wherever we go. We will not be able to free ourselves from that. That is why Krishna is stressing this point here, that the it is like a, and when that happens, Krishna says it takes only a second. The moment it realization comes about the soul, immediately the realization of the body leaves him. And when will that happen? It can happen anytime. Anytime it can happen. This is the reason why it is said that if you keep on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, at some point, unknowingly, without being noticed, it will suddenly click inside. When that will click, nobody can say. How it will click, nobody can say. Because being in the presence of discussing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, this thought keeps going in that direction and you will never know, just like sometimes you have forgotten something. And then you can't remember that. But then you go back and in your sleep or suddenly when you are sitting, it comes back suddenly from nowhere. Isn't it? That thought comes, oh, this is what I've forgotten. It comes back. The soul is also like that. Only thing is, because it's been forgotten for so long, it takes a lot of effort to get that memory back of the soul, our real identity of the soul. So when that will come, what Satsangam does is, it's only creating an environment for that. In that environment, it has to happen inside. And it's not something you can force upon anybody. It cannot force upon anybody. That realization suddenly comes inside that so much I have heard about the soul, and immediately your attention goes back to the soul and the realization comes from that. So that is why Krishna is saying here, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this false ego. Keep on rejecting this is the process. Keep on rejecting that is the process. So when we keep rejecting that, we come to understand that, who am I? Only then that thought will come up, who am I then? If I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego, then who am I? This thought will naturally become very powerful inside. That question will become strong inside. And it is at that time that the realization starts coming. At the moment, the question is also not very strong. Question is also only in our mind at the moment. Isn't it? It has not gone much deep-rooted than that. We also will ask, because we are trying to capture that with our mind and intelligence again. We are asking with the mind, and we want an answer which will satisfy the intelligence. But this is a question which cannot come from mind, which cannot come from intelligence. It has to come from the soul. That this question has to come, if I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, I am not this ego, then who am I? When that question, Krishna says, it keeps on coming strongly inside, one day the answer also will come from inside, exactly like the way the question has come from inside. The question is coming from inside, not from outside. Equally, the answer will also has to come from inside, and that is spiritual life. That's all spiritual life is about. But only thing is, we can only talk about it at the moment. Till it happens, it is still an unknown thing. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, Prashandasya. Prashandasya means that when you have realized what we are, then there is immediately a flow of Shanti inside. When you are identifying with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, it's always Ashanti. There is no Shanti inside. When all these things are rejected and we have moved to the platform of the soul, immediately Krishna says, Prashandasya. Prashandasya. That word used in that verse, isn't it? It says there, Jitalpana Prashandasya Paramatma Samahita. That means, Paramatma Samahita, he has reached that state of self-realization, has come to him. Paramatma Samahita. Therefore, he is Jitalpana. He has won the mind over his mind, and Prashandasya, he has realized that truth. That is what that verse is talking about. So, once we reach that state, but when you reach that state, if you keep thinking, I've reached that state now, immediately the false ego will come back. Immediately the false ego will come back. In other words, if you start thinking, I've got that Shanti now, I got that Shanti now. If you think like that, immediately the Shanti will go. That's the way this self-realization happens. That initially, when you feel that Shanti, that you feel that Shanti has come now, as soon as you think like that, Shanti will go. Straight away Shanti will go. Because Paramatma Samadhinaha, the nature of Paramatma, his Swarupam is Shanti. Then, for at that stage, Atma and Paramatma, separate existence is not there. Separate existence is not there. Paramatma is present inside as Jivatma also. When we say, from a devotee's position, this is Jnani's position, what we are talking about. In Paramatma and Jivatma are one and the same for them. From a devotee's position, at some point he will realize that when that purification happens through devotion, through bhakti, a stage will come. In Bhagavatam it is referred to as Ananya Bhakti. When he sees that, in quality sees one and the same as the Paramatma. That stage can also happen. Ahamaham iti. It says there, Ahamaham iti. That Ahamaham inside, what I am experiencing as I am, is non-different from that Paramatma. Non-different from that Paramatma. In the Bhagavad Gita, people always ask this question, are we two or are we one? Isn't it? That question has very limited importance, because if you are asking that question from the mind first, and you want an answer which will satisfy your intelligence. Second, both are wrong. This I am one or I am two, I am one with Krishna or I am separate from Krishna, this is not a question to be answered by the mind and intelligence. This is a thing to be experienced at a time when we have realized the truth. So therefore, harping on that question and criticizing anyone for that matter is not a very intelligent thing, because that person who is asking the question is coming from his mind. He has no spiritual realization of the truth, isn't it? And he wants an answer. If you say it's one, he will say, where does it say like that? It's actually two. If you say it's two, it says, no, it's one, he will say. So it can become one, it can become two, it can become three also. So when we talk about all these things, we have to know that they are not on the bodily platform, all these questions. They are not on the bodily platform. For satisfaction of your mind and intelligence, you can say it's one or two, whichever you like it, you can take it. But unless the realization is there, what we are, then we can talk about whether we are one or two. First, the realization of what we are, we have to know that. Without realizing the self, what point is discussing whether it is two or three or four? What does it matter? Because we are the body anyway. So in the bodily level, trying to understand whether the soul is one or two is foolishness. After reaching the state of self-realization, then you will see what happens at that time. At that time, you won't ask this question. This is all intellectual exercise. All this, whether you are one or two, all these things, dvaitam, advaitam, vishishtadvaitam, all this is purely on an intellectual platform. And because we have still very strong identification with the mind and intelligence, you need some answer to satisfy your mind and intelligence. Otherwise, it has no significance. It doesn't help you in your spiritual life anyway. It's not going to get you anywhere. So, Krishna's point is that aham, but certain things like aham aham, that spuranam or that one spurti that's coming from the soul, that is a reality. And that is the only reality we have of the presence of the soul. Presence of the soul or our spiritual identity. What we have tangible proof to tell someone that I have some connection with the soul. This is the only tangible proof we have got. Everything else is we have not seen, we have not experienced either. We have not seen Vaikuntham, we have not seen Golokam, we have not seen Kailasam. We don't know anything. All this is, Shastras are telling us it's there. It must be there. We have to believe it. But because we have not experienced it, it is also difficult to get that faith. But here, right in the hand, Krishna is offering us the proof of the soul, saying to us that this aham aham iti, this puranam inside, I am there, I am existing, is always there. You cannot take it away. Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti state, it is existing. And examples are given in all the Shastram to prove it to us. That's the only proof what we have. So we have to hold on to that truth, what is readily available to us. Using that, we have to make the progress in that direction. So Krishna is saying here that Paramatma Samadhinaha. So that is the same thing, what is present all the time. And if we have searched after that and have realized it, Krishna says, immediately at that point, the peace enters inside. Once that is cleared up, the attachment or identity with the body, mind, intelligence, ego will automatically leave us. And now, more interesting, although all these things are happening, our mind and intelligence won't let us go in our own way. It will follow you, again give you trouble. We'll ask you, self-realized soul, does he feel the heat and cold? They will ask this question, isn't it? Does a self-realized feel, the soul, does he feel the heat and cold? This is always a question everybody has. They won't ask that sometimes. And they will also think does he feel happiness and distress in life? The answer is, they do. Answer is, they do. They also feel heat and cold. They also feel heat and cold. But what happens is, if you want to understand this, go back to Bhagavatam and see there. When the battle was fought in Mahabharata war, Krishna was fighting against Bhishma, wasn't he? Bhishma fought against Krishna. Do we have to finish now? Maybe. We have to finish now. Okay. So when the battle happened, Bhishma shot the arrow on Krishna's body, isn't it?
Yudhitiraga viduja vishva kajalilashrama vadi alangradasi mama nishida sharir vibhidhyamanam kujivilasayal kavachayastu Krishna alma.
There is a verse in the Bhishma Stuti, if you study that. From Krishna was sweating, and from Krishna's body, blood was coming out. It's there in the Bhagavatam. There's a proof there, very clear. So you may ask the question, does the self-realized soul, was Krishna feeling the pain? Was Krishna was sweating? Was Krishna was affected by the sweat? So, the answer to that is that they are not experiencing the way like the way we do. Like the way Krishna is a perfect example of self-realization, isn't it? That's why I was quoting that particular incident with Krishna himself in the Bhagavatam. It's an interesting situation there. So when it says there that when the self-realization is there in a person, these things will be happening into the body, but it will not have any impact inside. Any impact inside. Body will still throw the blood out. Body will still sweat. The soul has nothing to do with that. Krishna is the soul, and Krishna is always thinking. For externally it may appear all these things are happening like everybody else, but internally there is nothing disturbing there. Nothing that is disturbing there. Neither cold nor heat nor happiness nor distress. Nothing is, because everything Krishna is doing is on the spiritual platform. It's on the spiritual platform. It is so strongly anchored there that whatever happens to the body, just like there are many stories in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? You know this story that one day in Dwaraka, Krishna was feeling severe headache. And people say these things and you'll start thinking, how can a God get headache? If he's getting headache, is he God? We'll ask the question, it's natural. But we won't ask the question. Why? Because it's related to Krishna. We think, or if we ask the question, will it be an offense to ask such a question? So we won't ask that question. So we'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.